28 past 7 on a beautiful Tuesday morning in Melbourne town. We're getting ready for Melbourne Cup Week. Kicks off on Saturday with Derby Day, the first of the four major days at headquarters for a fantastic 8 days of racing. And the team at Godolphin, I'm sure, are setting themselves up for a full-on assault at Flemington for the Melbourne Cup Carnival. Vin Cox is the CEO of Godolphin. He joins us on the Breakfast Club this morning. Good morning, Vin.
Good morning, guys. How are you going?
We're going very well. Thank you, sir. Appreciate your time. And I'm sure what's a very, very busy week for the team. But can I ask you, just take you back a couple of days, are you over it yet?
Oh, look, you know, there's only one place to win a race, and that's on the winning post. So, we weren't first past the post and didn't win it in the stewards' room. But, we move on. We're very fortunate. We've got an exceptional colt. He's going to win a lot more races for us, we hope, into the future, and we look forward to getting back on track.
He's obviously, we're talking about Animo, of course, who is the Caulfield Guineas winner and just missed out on the Cox Plate on Saturday. Is there a number that sort of that he missed out on in terms of a worth, a value as a stallion on the back of that performance or that outcome?
I don't know. He certainly wouldn't have lost any admirers. He was, he really ran his heart out and just missed by millimetres, really. I think his worth is cemented in terms of his future as a stadium prospect for us at Darley, and it's just a matter of building on his resume. So I don't think you can quite quantify it, but we look forward to building on that CV in any case. So we look forward to next season.
Vin, we talked to Joseph O'Brien yesterday morning, and he was saying that the longer it went, the more nervous he got after being quite confident initially. What about from the other side of things? Were you starting to get more confident the longer it went? Or take us through that whole dramatic half hour after the race.
It was obviously very... It was high pressure and high drama and things. But, we straight after the race, Sean Keogh and myself spoke to Willow as he was weighing in, and he said he was going to protest, so obviously we protested and we went into the room and everyone pleaded their case, and it was relatively quick, actually. And then we were asked to go outside while they deliberated, and the deliberations clearly went on for a long time. And experience tells you the longer the deliberations go on, you tend to think it's going to get overturned. But, we were never confident. The stewards have got a hard job to make, and the winner rightfully won the race, and we're now second place in a Cox Plate, which we're delighted with his run. So we're not complaining one bit.
No, he certainly ran well. So we want to talk to you about the Flemington Carnival and what you've got coming up, because you've got some decisions to make. But just one final one on Animo. What do you see him doing over the next 12 months? Is it too early to tell, or have you sort of got a feeling as to what you'll be targeting with one of the most talented young horses in the country?
We'll spell him now. We'll look at Autumn Carnival and races like the Ranwick Guineas, maybe the Doncaster, the Queen Elizabeth, things like that. So probably nothing on the radar in Melbourne, just the sort of brief chat we had about potentially what we might do with him next season. And then we'll just evaluate where he is at the end of that carnival, end of the Autumn Carnival, and whether he races on or goes to stud or the other possibilities. So we look forward to getting him back in probably around February time.
You talk about that little chat you had about Animo's next phase of his career. There's a good little piece in the paper today about almost a little match committee that you set up at the start of the week with you and James and form analyst Dominic Byrne to plot the course for your runners any given week. And I imagine this week is a pretty important one for the stable. Take us into that discussion. We're some footy people. And we have match committee on Thursday night, and there's a bit of discussion about who plays which position and who comes into the team and who doesn't. And what's it like in that room when you're having the chat about how you're going to place the horses?
Your analogy around a football team is very good, because that's exactly what it is. We're mapping out or coursing where we think we're going with each individual horse, not more the sort of key horses, the group horses, rather than midweek type horses. But it's exciting, just which way we should step, which jockeys we should use, what the options are, how we build a profile, example, how we build a profile for a colt, what's going to give us the best opportunity to win that group one or stakes win, whether it's a mare and things like that. So yeah, it's good fun. It's very, everyone has their bit to say. But one thing I will say is that once we make a decision, we don't go back on it. And it's whether one of us or might have a completely different view, we do make that decision and we get on with it and course that path.
Vin, I think you almost answered there for me, but does winning or losing make it change the plans more or less? So if Animo had won, would that change the plans, or is it when a horse loses, does it change your plans the most?
Oh, it changes your plans most when they're disappointing. If they're beating a lip, as we were in a Cox Plate, no, it doesn't. Not going to change where you're going. And you ultimately have your in your mind pretty much, your campaign mapped out. It might be 4 starts, 3 starts, 5 starts, whatever it might be. And generally, you stick to it. It's only when you get the real disappointment that you've got to zig when you probably wanted to zag. So that's when you do change course here.
So, because the reason I ask is, as soon as we see a horse win or perform really well, we love to get caught up in the theatre as punters and followers of racing. They've won this, so can it back up in a week's time to win something else? So you've already got those plans pretty well set. It's only a really sort of disappointing result where you'd make big adjustments?
Oh, yeah. Or to your point, if one jumps out at us, we go, oh, okay, we might just stretch him out, just stretch him or her out up into the deeper end and see how you go. But you want to consider that because you can, more times than not, end up with egg on your face.
So when you're planning for the Coolmore this weekend, the Group 1 at Flemington down the straight, which is a stallion-making event, you've got 3 colts entered in Ingratiating, Kalos and Pulelli. Are they all going to be heading that way this weekend?
Yeah, they'll all turn up, good Lord willing. So they're all fitting well. Ingratiating, obviously, quick backup. Kalos off the Dane Hill, a very strong, dominant Dane Hill win, and Pulelli off a very good win in Sydney. So 3 very, very exciting colts, and any one of them we'd be happy to win with because they're good prospects going forward. So, we're very much looking forward to Saturday for the Coolmore.
Would you lean to one, Vin, for our punters out there?
I knew you were going to ask. And honestly, we were talking about it yesterday. It's hard to split them. I mean, they're for different reasons. You can see them doing great things. Pulelli's scintillating on his day and Ingratiating, his first win back was just dominant, and Kalos was huge in the Dane Hill. So I don't know. I'm intrigued as anyone to see which one ends up on top.
And for the rest of the carnival, the Melbourne Cup Carnival, is there one that you're really excited to see perform on the biggest stage?
Oh, look, I have to say, I'm very much looking forward to seeing Colette run in the Empire Rose. She's up for $1 million bonus. She's been a fantastic mare for the organisation. Everyone within Godolphin's had something to do with her, and she's just been a great no-frills mare in terms of just easy to look after. She did have a little hiccup leading, obviously we wanted to go to the Caulfield Cup and things, but she's just a very matter-of-fact filly, just gets on with life and whatever we do with her. When we do have to change course, she's, okay, that's fine, let's go that way then. So, excited to see her. I think a filly like Willowy in the Wakeful, where she won brilliantly, albeit at Newcastle. I think it was Newcastle. Anyway, provincial New South Wales. But won exceptionally well. We are throwing her into the deep end in the Wakeful on Saturday. But she is, she's doing similar things as Colette did when she was sort of coming through the ranks. So, excited about those sort of horses.
A couple to keep our eye on through the carnival in those famous colours. Before I let you go, a bit of a broader question. There's been a bit of discussion about the quality of the Australian horses, particularly weight for age horses, compared to the internationals. No one's better placed than you to talk about this with international understanding as well. How would Animo compare to the 3-year-olds of Europe, do you reckon?
Oh, I think he'd be pretty competitive. I think that those sort of comments are pretty insulting to owners of horses, whether it's in Australia or the world over, Joseph O'Brien's and things like that. That colt, he won a Group 1 in America by a big space. And then he comes over here and wins a Cox Plate, no less, here. you know, they're good quality races. You don't do that by accident.
Mm.
You know, I think the only thing I'd suggest to you commentators is you need to race a few more horses because it's not that easy.
Well, trust me, I've raced plenty of them, and they're no good, Vin. I'm looking for a good one, Vin.
So I mean, that's you know, I think really, I mean, if you look at that Cox Plate field, you've got a horse that's last up winner. The winner is the last up winner, Group 1 winner in America at Saratoga.
Yep.
Our bloke, the last up winner in the fastest Caulfield Guineas of all time, won that. The third horse is the reigning horse of the year, 9 times Group 1 winner. Mwanga, a Group 1 winner, one of the best 4-year-olds in the country. You've got Probabil, who ran 5th, last start Group 1 winner. You've got, of course, on Mav, who twice Group 1 winner out of New Zealand. Captivant, the 3-year-old, second in the Caulfield Guineas, Group 1 winner at 2. I don't see what you blokes are looking at. I think you're on drugs.
We may or may not be. just for reference, it wasn't us who said that. But anyway, it's not important.
No, I understand.
It's not important right now. Been always good to chat racing with you. Good luck to the entire team for the Melbourne Cup Carnival. Appreciate your time.
Good on you. Anytime.
Vin Cox, CEO of Godolphin, with us with some strong comments there in the end, but a great insight into what happens in a stable the size of Godolphin, which is good fun this time of year. 21-8, Darren Lehman's going to join us after this. We'll get to him on the other side of the break.